wonderful people. First off, I have Mr. Afternoon Jams, PA. It's always a pleasure to get you on the show.
It's an honor to be with you, Ladue, especially under these conditions, because you nailed the big time people. I can't get these kind of people on my show.
You know, it's definitely an honor. So we are excited to have these special guests in the studio and that they're here with us today.
And we like to welcome to the show. And it's been like 11 years now. Because he's such a busy person.
Yes,
him
definitely.
And President Obama and the Secretary of State, they are so busy. But we are honored to have in the studio a Mr. Roy Roberts, who is a native of Muskegon and former superintendent of EFM of Detroit Public Schools. And we're just honored to have him in the studio. And we're going to talk about his success because that's more to who we are.
Definitely. And, you know, he's just living proof that all things are possible, and hard work and determination can get you just about anywhere.
If there's a list of top influential African-Americans in the country, a top 20 list, he's in that 20.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I would say I would probably round it down to top 10.
Top 10, right.
Well, you're being awfully kind. But, you know, it's so great to be home. And I'm here with my niece, Dorothy Scott, former city council person. So this is a joy. This is a real joy. And a lot of what I am and what I hope to be, a lot of people here in the greater Muskegon area have been a part of it.
Wonderful.
I want to say good afternoon to the radio station. Thank you, Paul. Thank you for having me on. I'm very happy to spend a couple of days with my uncle. Everyone think Roy is my brother, but Roy is my uncle. He's my mother's brother. And I was happy that he came in. He called me and said, I'll be in. And so we've been spending the last 2 days together. I'm always happy to see him. He's my mentor. He really is. He's a family's mentor. He accomplished so much. And when I think about how much he have done and how hard a work he had to work so hard to get to where he at, it kind of brings tears to me because we growed up together. We wrestled in the trees together. We picked apples together. We did a lot of things together. So, and to see him now, it kind of brings tears to my eyes. So thank you for having us both on, both of you, Rosie and PJ. And I'll turn this over. I introduce you to Mr. Roy S. Roberts.
That's right. The Roy S. I forgot the S.
Yeah. She's heavy on the S.
She must have something to do with the S. Yeah.
Thank you, Ms. Scott, for being here as well.
But folks who don't know, Mr. Roy Roberts was the first black senior executive for General Motors, right?
That's right. It's a tough world because the auto industry is a very secular kind of business. It's very close-knit. And when you start thinking of a corporation, the largest corporation in the world at the time, a lot of people don't want you in a lot of places. But I outperformed a whole lot of people, and I was lucky. I was in some of the right places at the right time and performed well and walked through a lot of chairs. You think about it, I was Vice President of Personnel Administration Development, 950,000 employees globally.
Wow.
Then I quit General Motors, by the way, and I went to a company in Chicago, Navistar. Built heavy-duty trucks, medium-duty trucks, school buses. I ran that company, and General Motors recruited me back. First person in the history of General Motors to ever leave and get recruited back. Real compliment. Then I ran Cadillac Engineering and Manufacturing, ran GMC Truck, made that a division, wow. Ran Pontiac, merged those two divisions, and then I ran all the divisions of GM with about a $3 billion promotional budget, $3.2 billion advertising budget. Signed Tiger Woods to a $30 million contract for Buick.
Wow.
And it changed the entire face of Buick. I'll tell you more about that later.
Wow. So you were responsible for that?
Very responsible because I put up $30 million. I wanted him to go to Cadillac, but the oldest buyer in General Motors was a Buick buyer. And older people will not let you change anything in a car, and we wanted to change that car. By signing him, it drew young people to the car, and you think about what's happening today. When you see any commercial, it's got young athletes advertising Buick, and it's a hit.
Hmm. Wow. And he's from Muskegon. And, we just talking about a little what he's done so far. It's a lot more to what Mr. Roy S. Roberts have done.
You track athlete for Muskegon.
Oh, you was an athlete too?
Yes.
Yeah, I went to Muskegon Big Red and played football, basketball, played basketball and couldn't shoot. pretty good football player. Played against Ronnie Robinson, O.C. McCarthy, Willie McCarthy, the Burtons. You know, this was a great place to grow and develop. And if you take this forward with you, you can do anything you want to do on the face of the earth, but you got to care about doing it. You got to be strong enough to do it. You got to believe that you can do it. And I always did. Some people said it was arrogant. I said, I don't care what you call it. I'm going to call it getting the job done.
Wow. All right. And you got it done.
Well, and along the way, Paul, you know, I was president of the Boy Scouts of America, 3 million kids, 3.8 million volunteers. I was on the United Negro College Fund Board. I chaired the fundraiser 49th and 50th year in the state of Michigan. I was on the National Urban League Board. I was on you name it, and I've done everything I could to help my people because I think it's critically important. If you're at the table, if you don't represent your people at the table, nobody will ever respect you. Mm-hmm. And that's been my attitude with General Motors and all the corporate boards that I've served on, and it served me well.
Wow. Well, probably one of your biggest challenges you took up on a couple of years ago was Detroit Public Schools.
Well, it was. I had that career in General Motors, and I retired. And I was going to move to my home in Scottsdale and take it easy. You know, I met some friends who wanted to start a private equity firm. We did. It was in Chicago, downtown Chicago. We had about a 12-year run. We did okay. We made so much money on the first two deals, we used to weigh it in a bucket. And we lost so much on the next two, we said, you better get that money out of the bank because we're going to pay off these bills. But in the aggregate, we did well. We did okay. And then I couldn't sign up for another fund, so I was retiring again to Scottsdale. And the governor called me and said, you got to come help me. Came in to see the governor. He says, Michigan run through Detroit, and if I can't help to fix Detroit, I can't reinvent Michigan. Mm. He says, the biggest single problem I have in Detroit, though, the public school, they're not educating the kids. And the finances are turned upside down. He said, I can't send a white guy down there to fix it. I said, you're right. He said, I can't pay you what you're worth. I said, you're right again. You want to go for a trifecta? But when I saw how committed he was serious about wanting to fix that problem, I went home and talked to my wife, and it was a short conversation. Maureen, who's from here also, went to Muskegon.
Okay, wow. Right. I didn't know that.
It was a 10-minute conversation. She says, who are we to say, I got mine, now you get yours the best way you can. We can't say that. If we can help, we have to help. And so we took on the assignment. It's the toughest job I ever had in my life trying to help our people. I really mean it, because there's so many problems. Had a deficit of $327 million. In 1 year and 4 months, we had it down to $76 million.
Wow.
We've had 3 years of balanced budget. And we make sure that everybody's going to play to the budget. You're going to do what is in the budget. And this past year, every grade in K-8 improved, and five of the classes led the state of Michigan. Mm. It can be done, but you got to be committed to getting it done. You got to hold people accountable for getting it done. Quite often, if you're mayor in an urban city or you run a school system, the minute you get it, everybody think you ought to hire their friend. They don't care if it's got nothing to do with education or being efficient at what you do. You got to hire my buddy. You know, that's bull crap. You can't do that. I took the approach, this is about the kids. It's about the kids. It's not about adults. It's not about other stuff. This is about how do we educate these little nappy-head kids that look like me.
Right.
And I know for a fact, coming out of Muskegon, where I was on welfare from time to time, if you educate these kids, you will never, never turn them around, okay?
Right.
And I fell in love with education along the way. Went to Western. When I went to Western, I commuted 120 miles a day round trip from Grand Rapids to Kalamazoo, worked full-time and raised a family.
Mm.
And later, General Motors sent me to Harvard. And later, they sent me to study in Italy. And so, if you educate these kids, you will never, never turn them around. And we have to educate the kids, because if you don't, everything everybody's trying to do, it doesn't mean a thing because it's not sustainable.
Wow.
We've got to educate the kids. And that's what, tough job, really tough, but it was the most rewarding thing. That's what I didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely the most rewarding job I've ever had, because you have a tough day, go over to elementary school and look in the face of a third grader, and you know why you're doing what you're doing, and you don't want to let go. So great teachers, had a lot of great teachers, great administrators, and we made a difference. And I retired a week ago Monday. The governor and I announced that. Got a great replacement, a friend of mine, Jack Martin, who was Undersecretary, Department of Education under Bush. And I'm convinced Detroit will continue to go in the right direction. And every community must do the exact same thing. Kids first. Kids first.
Wow. Roy Roberts in the studio. Roy S. Roberts in the studio. What do you think is the biggest crisis facing Black America?
I think this is something that I've developed over time. I think a lot of us say we're poor and we need help, but I think we look for the wrong kind of help. When we were on welfare, it was what welfare was intended for. It was a stopgap. It was to help me for the short term. I'm telling you, if you have to put people on welfare to last for a lifetime, that's slavery. Mm. And we got to get over that. Right. We got to educate people and move people out of that and make them employable and do the biggest job we can. People talk about racism. There has always been racism, always will be. I don't care about it, okay? And by the way, my concentration in Detroit public schools was not to get kids all upset about slavery and what happened. You need to know it so you don't step in it again. But there is more opportunity ahead of them than behind them. And that's what I want them to focus on and take advantage of. And we as a people need to do that. And our economic development is what we got to focus on. Economic development. Every race I know is talking about economic development, and we're not doing that because we can't come together, three or four of us, or 10 of us, or 100 of us, and say, let's do something together. Let's make a difference. Let's build some wealth, and let's pass it on from generation to generation. Let's create some more wealth. We're not doing that. We've got to learn how to do it.
Wow. Roy S. Roberts in the studio. He's in town. You ready to go back to Detroit, huh?
Well, I have to go back to Detroit today, and we're going to spend half the year there and half in Scottsdale. We have a home in Scottsdale, Arizona.
So you're going to officially retire from working?
Everybody I see, hey, I keep telling people, I'm going to work for Maureen Roberts. And she's got a long list. But, you know, I'm on corporate boards. I'm on the board of Abbott Laboratories.
Okay.
I was on that board for 15 years, went off mandatory retirement age. They asked me to come back on. They changed the rules. And don't forget that. They can change the rules anytime they want to. Okay. They're in charge, okay? I was on Burlington Northern Railroad's board for 20 years. We sold it to Warren Buffett for $33 billion with a 30% premium.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
I mean, it's out there. And not all of us get that opportunity. But we have to position ourselves so that we can take advantage of some of those opportunities. And when you get there, you have to make sure that you advocate for our people. We have to advocate for our people. If you don't, nobody else will. And, you know, like when I was a GM, I made 17 African-American dealers.
Wow.
Which means I gave them a chance to be a millionaire. I can't tell you how many suppliers that supplier, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, I've been involved in their lives and their development, their growth. That's a joy.
Right.
That's a real joy. And everyone I've helped have reached back to help someone else. So there's a multiplier effect there. Mm. We have to do that. If we don't lift each other up, nobody can get us there.
Wow. Roy S. Roberts in the studio. You just don't know. You are huge to get him in your time spot.
You know, just listen, it's so inspiring. It just makes you feel like you're just not doing enough, you know, with yourself. Do you have a book out?
I'm in the process.
Okay.
We're in the process. I was in the process of doing an autobiography. And in the last 2 years, going into education, this is more important. And so now we're doing both. We're going toward that last chapter. And I'm working with a writer, because I'm not a great writer. And we think we're going to create some excitement. And you think about it, every job I've ever had in my life, I was the first African-American to have it in corporate America. I got some stories to tell, and hopefully they're stories that will not keep a little brother or sister from here for stepping in a trap again, and they can go forward and be successful. So I have to tell that story while I'm alive, and I don't know how long I'm going to be alive, so I'm going to take advantage of it now.
Wow. Rosie Ledoux, you nailed it. People trying to get into the studio to see Roy Roberts.
I guess
people knocking on doors and stuff. But I got a couple more questions. You're definitely financially secure. How many hours a day do you work? You got it made. You ain't got to work. But actually, how many hours do you
work? I don't
work?
Have to work financially. You know, I don't mean that in any braggadocious way. This job that I am leaving or just left, it was 24/7. People say that and it doesn't mean much. But if somebody calls you at 2 o'clock in the morning because they got a problem with a kid, you got to respond to it. If the police department get involved, you got to respond to it. I can't tell you how many hours or set hours I worked. It's whatever it took. It was 7 days a week. You did what you had to do to make sure kids were taken care of and kids were educated.
What if you got kids out there and they saying, how can I be like Roy Roberts? What would you say to those kids?
You get the best education you can possibly get. And when you take a class and you don't like it, you rub up against it until you make it smooth. Don't you run away from it. It will do more for you than any class you've ever had. In life, you won't remember the easy teacher. You remember the teacher that challenged you to be more than you ever thought you'd be. Mm. Don't run away from it. You get the best education you can get because you're competing with people all over the world. And by the way, we look at some of the issues we have in Muskegon Heights and Muskegon and Detroit and Pontiac. There is no school system in the United States of America, very few, that's teaching kids to be competitive globally. Mm. Of course, you got kids in Japan and China and Ireland, some of these countries. They're teaching kids 6 and 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, and you got kids in Africa would line up and kill to go to school, and in some cases, we have to almost kill kids here to go to school. Mm. We got to know what they can do for it. Yeah. Yeah.
A few more questions about Roy Roberts here. You said I can ask you anything. So what was your grade point average in high school?
Probably about 2.8 to 3.1. I wasn't great. I was good.
Right.
I was good. But when I went to college, it was a different ballgame. Because I was grown. I had kids. Company was paying tuition reimbursement. I think I had one B. All A's. Because it was serious business. There was no time for playing around and crapping around. It's going to make it happen, buddy. And then I was president of my class at Harvard.
Hmm.
So,
wow.
And I always want to lead, baby. Look, when I joined General Motors from Lear, I was with Lear Sigler for 17 years. Hmm. General Motors recruited me away. I go to GM, diesel plant in Grand Rapids, Michigan. The first 3 weeks, they took a high potential employee out of every department and threw them into a conference room. So we want you to figure out how to build the most modern fuel systems plant in the United States of America. And somebody said, we got this new guy, Roy Roberts. Why don't we throw him in? So they threw me in. I walked into the room, and I asked, who's in charge? They said, nobody. I said, it must be me. It must be me. I took over.
You took over.
And I ran it. And we built a plant in Coopersville, Michigan, that was the most advanced fuel system plant in the United States of America. Some people might have surpassed it now. Coopersville, Michigan. But it's about leadership. You know, most people don't want leadership. They think it's risky. They think they'll make a mistake.
Hmm.
Give me the ball, coach. Put me in. I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it.
Yeah. Wow. Roy S. Roberts.
Yeah.
Couple more questions. Did you ever get in trouble as a kid?
Stayed in trouble. Boy, but let me tell you something. I had a father. They called him MacArthur because he wore this big army coat. And he raised 10 kids. My mother died when I was 2.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow.
Nothing was ever easy. And if something went down in the neighborhood, he started whooping me first. I said, what you whooping on me for? He said, you probably led it. And I said, no, I didn't. He said, well, that's the one I missed. See, but today you touch a kid and they say, I'll call the police. See, and that's why you have to call the police so often now to come get these kids because they're doing crazy things. My father was going to take care of us and make us do the right thing. And I was in trouble, out of trouble. But I was a good person, and I graduated most likely to succeed, best dressed, most friendly, had a lot of friends. I had over 500 kids graduate at Muskegon Senior High when I graduated, and only 5 of us were black, or people of color.
Wow.
So it's a great changing world, but I never backed off from it, buddy. You have to bring it when it comes to me, because I just wasn't going to back up from anybody, and I didn't want to be perceived as being the dumbest person in class. And somebody that you look down your nose. I washed my own clothes. I pressed my own pants. I dressed. You would have thought I had clothes. And my young brother Gene, who's here with me today, I used to get my older brother Bob to buy 2 suits, and I'd get Gene to get the suit that I like second best so I could wear his suit first. People would think I had 2 suits. We've all been the same place. It's not where you come from. It's where you want to go. Where do you want to go, and how do you go make that happen? And don't put yourself in harm's way. Stay out of harm's way.
Wow.
Go make it happen.
Wow. Who do you look up? Who do Roy S. Roberts look up to?
That's interesting because there are a lot of people that I look up to because I think they're doing great work. Certainly the president of this country. I gave him so much money the first time he ran, they sent some back. So you can't give that much. Well, they did. True story. And we did this time around. And I'm in a special class for him. But there are other people that are even lower that I really respect for what they're doing. But mine is all about people who are doing the right thing. It's about people who are willing to understand that kids come first and we got to take care of these kids. It's people who understand that education is real key. Those are the people I respect. I don't see many business people. The chairman of American Express is a dear friend of mine. He's a great guy. And he's probably one of the best CEOs in the nation. I have some healthy respect for him from a business perspective. But, buddy, I'm going to tell you something. And I don't mean this braggadocious. I'm as good a businessman as you're going to find. Anywhere. So I'll look up to Roy Roberts when it comes to business, okay? No. Roy S. Roberts.
Roy S. Roberts.
Heavy on the S. No, I know business. You think about all the corporate boards I've served on. I've worked in every functional area in a manufacturing company, engineering, manufacturing, marketing, sales, service, you name it. And I was there because I had to earn it, because there were a lot of people that weren't my color, didn't want me there.
Mm.
So I had to perform.
Right.
And I can make the numbers tap dance.
What I get from him, Rosie, is confidence.
Well, definitely. That's
it. And you got a lot of guys on the streets who have that confidence,
yeah,
but they're using it to wrong things.
Yeah, you got to back it. You got to do it for the right thing. You got to do it for the right thing. And don't take the easy way out, you know. And by the way, I've had relatives, certainly down here, that have tried the easy way. It didn't work. Mm. It's never going to work. It might work for a minute, not forever. One of my children, it won't work forever. You got to go earn it every day.
The African American Museum in Detroit, what is your role with them? What do you think about it?
Well, we're probably one of the largest contributors, of the top three or four contributors to that museum. My wife is on the board. Maureen is on the board. We also gave $1 million to the Detroit Institute of Art. We have a gallery there named after Maureen and Roy Roberts. It's the only gallery in the United States of America named after a black couple. Mm. We're proud of that, and we did it. We did it because we want our kids, grandkids, my nieces, and I want Dorothy Scott, when she go over there, to say, that's what Uncle Roy S. Roberts did, okay? That's important to me.
Right.
I want them to aspire to want to do great stuff. We send our grandkids to college, and I tell my kids to tell the grandkids, I don't educate average people. I'm educating Roberts. I'm educating kids for greatness, and you got to give me your very best effort. And when the grade point average drop below 2.5, I tell my kids, you take over. You send them. I'm not sending them. It's got to be that way because in life it's about performance. You've got to perform. Okay?
Your biggest achievement, personally, to yourself?
If you had asked me this 2 years ago, I would have told you becoming an officer of General Motors Corporation, largest manufacturing corporation in the world, being named to the Hall of Fame, I probably would have said that. But today I'll tell you that's number two. Number one was the work we did with Detroit Public School. You know what? We've helped young people. We've impacted lives. We've made a difference in their lives. Some of them will never know me, will never see me, and won't know it from that perspective. But when I go to my grave, I'd rather have you come to my funeral and say, oh, he wasn't just the highest ranked African American in the auto industry. He cared about kids and he worked to make a difference. That's the most important thing in my life to me.
Wow. Who influenced you in Muskegon when you was growing up? Who made Roy S. Roberts the man he is?
I'm glad you asked that because this is going to be in my book. There was a gentleman here named Dr. Henry Green. Sticks Green. Good looking brother, liked to gamble with the people and hang out, dressed sharp, had the first two Thunderbirds that came out. I'll never forget it. I said, when I grew up, I want to be like him. Not only that, he was single. He had the prettiest girlfriends. Sticks Green. A lot of people here know Sticks. He's got a son in Detroit right now, I see periodically. But when I was going to college, I bought, and I was working full time, I bought three Thunderbirds before I could ever get it out of my system. And then I got it out of my system. But it was a material thing that got my attention, but that's not what maintained it, because when you move beyond that, you got to move to substance. And there were several people of substance I respected. I had teachers, Mr. Winger, just a number of people who were tough on me. Tough on me. I remember Charles Blakely, a good friend of mine here, in one class, Mr. Winger told him, Charles, I'm going to give you a D the next time I want you to earn it. I mean, they were pushing for performance, and that's a good thing. So I had a lot of people that impacted me and influenced me, and the ministers in this community, you name it. We got people who are still in political life here, some that I've known for years that I have a healthy respect for. So there's a cadre of people. But I'll tell you an interesting point. There were relatively, I have to be careful with this comment, there were very few or no African Americans that helped me in the corporate world that were above me.
Wow.
Because I was pioneering.
Wow.
I was ahead of all of them. I mean, in the nation.
Right.
Nobody quit a Fortune 500 company and went to another company in Fortune 500. People watched what I did, and other people learned and grew from it. A Hawaiian guy, Miles Nishiyama at Lear Sigurd, made me go to college. A lot of people took me under their wing. But you know, when I reflect on it now, they took me under their wing because I was putting forth the effort. It wasn't welfare. I was putting forth the effort to make a difference. And a lot of people then wanted to help me, and I accepted that help. And that's why I have an obligation, a responsibility, to help other people today.
Wow. In closing, I'll let Rosie, I don't know if you had anything.
There is one question. I know some people are listening to you, and they're inspired, and I know you got an early start. What would you say to the person who, you know, has spent maybe most of their years wasting time and sitting back doing anything, but now they are inspired and they want to make a difference? Is it too late? Is it ever too late?
It's never too late. It's never too late. I didn't go to college until I was 23, 24. Had a wife, two kids, and as I indicated, was working and commuting. And maybe everybody can't do that, but get whatever you can toward education. You've got community college, junior colleges around here. Get some. And I think you'll surprise yourself after a while. You say, well, I got an associate's degree. And by the way, what you will really learn, I'm as smart as all these other people here. I'm going to go on and get me a degree. I did. In the corporate world, I had great aspirations, and I moved to a certain level, and I started weighing the peer group, the people that I was competing with. I said, hell, these people ain't the smartest people in the world. And I picked the smartest one out. Say there were six of us. I picked the smartest person in the group out. That person was perceived as being the hero. And I said, why is he good? Self-starter, self-motivated, getting work done on time. I write it all down. I said, in 6 months, I'm going to beat him doing what he's doing. I'll never hurt him. I'll never step on him. I'll do everything to be cooperative. But to do that, you know how only way you can do that? You have to do some introspection and say, what do I have to change? What do I have to change and get better at to beat that person doing what they're doing? Most people don't want to do that. They think, I can be what I want to be. I can do what I want to be, and you better respect me for it. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way, baby. He who has the money makes the rules. I mean, they make all the rules. All the rules. And you're either going to comply or you won't do well, and you'll be very dissatisfied and you'll be upset. But it is never too late to do better than you're doing today. But do some introspection and says, what must I change to do better?
Wow. Roy S. Roberts. If you don't mind, I want you to brag a little bit, because I want to ask you some questions. Because I want people to know that you could be black and be successful and live a good life without jeopardizing your dignity and your morale. How many countries have you been to?
I've been around the world probably three times. The last job I had with General Motors, I was group vice president of marketing, sales, and service. That's when I had a $3 billion promotional budget, $3.2 billion advertising. You take dealers everywhere in the world. I took 2,000 dealer couples to Alaska on the Intercoastal. The entire ship was ours. I've been to Rome. I've been to Florence. I've been to Spain, Italy, Africa, you name it. I've been to all of them. Well, think about it. I had eight divisions. You had marketing, sales, and service. And every one of those groups take their dealer partners on trips every year. I had in excess of 700 world trips a year, so I could pick out the ones I wanted to, and I had to go to the ones where I could have the most influence in going. I've announced cars every year, you know, in Las Vegas, new cars that were coming to market. I gave speeches that the media wouldn't even print because I was talking about diversity in advertising and in the market. People couldn't handle it, okay? I gave a speech one time in Detroit before the auto show. All the media was there from around the world. Nobody printed a word of it. Not a word. But that's okay. I did what was right. And now that everybody's doing it. But Maureen and I have been blessed. And I'm blessed to have a wife like Maureen who came from Muskegon. And we grew up, we never thought that, we couldn't think this way, that we'd have the success we've had. But we've been a team. We have been a true team. She's got my back, my front, my head, and a great partner. As we moved around the country, we moved about 13 times. And a lot of people can't move because my wife don't want to go there. Mm. Or my husband don't want to go there.
Mm.
If you're not a team, when Maureen and I got married and General Motors was trying to recruit me, I said to her, well, you're a nurse. What happens if General Motors want to move me if I'm doing well? She says, we'll chase your career.
Mm.
I'll go anywhere General Motors want you to go,
mm.
as long as you're taking care of me. And that's exactly what we've done.
Wow.
And I don't let Maureen want for anything on the face of this earth.
Mm. She wanted to get it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
How many presidents have you met?
I've met the last four presidents have asked me to serve in the administration. Senior Bush. Barbara Bush was a personal friend of mine. I worked with her on the illiteracy issue. Barbara Bush, Brock, Bennett, Jack Welch from GE. When he was vice president, we sat at her dining room table, and I saw her go up one side of Brock one day and down the other side, and she'd look at me, and she said, honey, how you doing? You all right? Yes. She'd always set me right next to her. And she wanted me to be undersecretary of the Department of Education. I wouldn't do it. I said, I'm not going to be undersecretary to anybody. She said, so she called me Overdog. If she walked in right now, she said, Overdog, how you doing? I said, you might call me Overdog, but she ain't going to ever call me Underdog, okay? And she had her husband give me the American Success Award in the Rose Garden.
Wow.
And it was a great tribute. And then he wanted me to serve. Vernon Jordan virtually leaned on me and camped at my house to get me to serve with Bill Clinton because I was born in Arkansas. He thought that was a natural draw. But I've always had the idea, you can't serve at that level, you know, even though I was a county commissioner here, until you got money. If you don't, all you can do is what they'll let you do.
Mm.
And I wouldn't do it. Mm. And this president, if I asked me to serve in his administration, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it?
No, because I think I can do more out here than in there.
Right.
Because all you can do is what they'll let you do. It's their program. And I'm going to help him achieve his program, and I'm going to do everything I can out here. Because in there, I could not have made 17 black car dealers.
Right.
Okay? So you got to do what you can, when you can, where you are. Wow. That's my idea.
You were denied entrance at one time to a private club, even a millionaire's club, pretty much. And you were denied entrance into that, but you got the backing from a lot of people. How did that make you feel, knowing that you was the most successful person at that time, probably in America, as a black man, and you were trying to get into this private club, and they didn't want to let you in?
It was even worse than that. In the history of General Motors, they virtually built that club, Bloomfield Hills Country Club. Became an officer, you were invited to membership. I was not. Then later some people wanted to get me in, and it really got to be a fight about some other GM people, and I got caught up in it. It was written up all over the world. I mean, I got letters from Paris about what's going on, and people just vamped on that club. The chairman of General Motors said it's racist, and he dropped out.
Mm.
The chief financial officer of General Motors is, and he dropped out. They had a note in front of every officer of General Motors. If somebody called you from another company and says, what do you do if it happens in your company? And the answer was, and they read it, Roy Roberts is a member of the senior management team 7 days a week. It's not good enough for him. It's not good enough for any of us. And we can't tell you what to do in your company, but we're going to do what's right.
Mm. Mm.
And it brought the club to their knees. They came back and said, we think we made some errors, and we want to correct it. And I said, no, I don't want to touch that. And I was in another club. I was in two other clubs. But then I started, and the vice chairman of General Motors said to me, you've been pioneering all your life. We got these boys on the run. You can't turn your back on this. I said, look, I don't need to belong to another club, pay another $150,000 to join. Don't worry. When you get your bonus, it'll have the mumps. We got to do this. We got to. So they fixed it. But I found out in the last few years why they did that, because 3 years ago, I won the club championship. 2 years ago, me and another guy won the member tournament. They didn't want to serve us. They didn't want us to win. But great club, great people, but that's progress. And that's been 18 years ago, and we just keep moving forward.
How was it staying next to Aretha Franklin, near Aretha Franklin?
Aretha? Yeah. Aretha's my baby. We were at the mayor's house. We were at the mayor's house one night when her sister was still alive, and she was sitting in a chair. I walked past. She said, Roy, the Queen of England wanted me to come over and entertain for her. She says, you want to go with me? I said, well, let me check my schedule, Aretha, and see how if it'll match up. So we take about five steps away, and Maureen said to me, did she invite me? I said, well, go ahead, baby. I'm going to take you. Aretha's been a dear friend, and I've known just a lot of really famous people, good people. I don't interfere with their lives. I don't interrupt them when they're out publicly because I think it's wrong. And they've had a lot of respect for me. You cut both ways, so proud of it. Graduated from Western, by the way, with Dennis Archer, who became mayor. Dr. Bill Picard, who owns several companies in Detroit and Indiana, Ohio, and Philadelphia. Ron Hall, who owned a billion-dollar business in Detroit that I was partially involved in putting that deal together. And the guy who ran was in the state. So we were called the Fabulous Five from Western Michigan University. And we do deals on handshakes because all the lawyers can do is outline the argument you're going to have later if you want to break up. So we've all been friends for a long time, and a few of us are partners in MGM Grand Casino in Detroit.
Right. Well, yeah, I forgot to mention that, Ledoux.
There's so many things
he's involved with. Thank you so much. I know I told you 10 minutes, and we went overboard. So.
Well, but it's great to be home. It's great to be here in Muskegon. My brother Gene is here. Yes. I got my nephew here. Greg is here and his family. Yeah. And Dorothy Jeanette Scott, my baby, she makes sure that I show up, and she says, act like you got some sense when you get here.
Thank you so much.
Good to be with you. Yeah. Good to be with you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. It's been great.
Yes, it has been.
We'll run this back on the afternoon, too. An afternoon jam show.
Yes, that'll be wonderful.
Anything in closing you want to say to Muskegon?
Well, just hello, Muskegon. And you're going through some difficult times, but it's a matter of people coming together, saying we're going to make a difference. And you will make a difference. And we might be down a bit, but we're not out. And Detroit just filed for bankruptcy. And I'm going to tell you this. It's the absolute best thing that could have happened. General Motors and Chrysler did. They came out on the other side, and they're booming. Same thing is going to happen in Detroit.
All right.
All right.
Roy S. Roberts from Muskegon, Michigan, folks. Thank
it's
you,
definitely
sir.
Been a pleasure.
Yes.
And hopefully we can get you back soon.
Good to be with you.
Thank you. Enjoy your day and enjoy your weekend. Keep it locked more on the way inside the Midday Cafe.
Broadcasting live from the Mason Wright Media Center, WUVSLP, 103.7 Muskegon, Muskegon Heights.
This hour of WUVSLP is brought to you by Patterson's Drugstore, now accepting the EBT card, specializing in all your household items, from A to Z, food items.